Good morning, brethren. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 1. How are we born? How are we born? Now, speaking of the Word who was made flesh, the Son of God, we read here in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the Lord Jesus Christ is life, and that life is the light of men. He's life. He's in him is all life, natural life and spiritual life. It's all of him. Temporal life, eternal life is of him. And in him is light, natural light. Just natural understanding that men have is in him. And spiritual light is in him. Note those words there, in him. In him was life. And Christ the life was the light of men. All light, all life, and all lights in him. You know, Colossians 1:19 says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him. And in him is the fullness of everything he dispenses to his creation. Everything's in him. In him's the fullness of life, natural life. Just a man as he's conceived in his mother's womb and born into this world with natural life, that life came from Christ. And spiritual life, being born again, that life is from Christ. Light, just natural understanding, as depraved and as dark as our understanding is and as ruined in sin as it is, the understanding we have is from Christ. And all spiritual light is from Christ. Every person that ever lived, from Adam to the worst enemy of Christ, to John the Baptist who laid on his breast in love to him, every person that ever lived got their life and their light from Christ. Verse 9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now for the non-elect, those that God hasn't chose, he never gives them any more than natural life and natural light. Never any more than just natural life and natural light. They're under the curse and condemnation of the law because of Adam's sin and the nature is corrupt. We come into the world in darkness, but we do have the law of God written on our heart. Romans 2 is clear on that. The Gentile who never had the law, he bore witness that the law is on his heart by nature. Though it's defiled and though it's ruined in sin, there is still an understanding of right and wrong that people have. And that comes from Christ. But for the elect, he not only gives natural life and natural light, he gives spiritual life and spiritual light. A discernment of him, true life that's of him. But we see in that, brethren, that every person in this world is a debtor to God for life. Everybody is. A debtor to God for the understanding that we do have, because he gave it. And we're without excuse for not believing on him. Romans 1 is clear, that which may be understood of God is seen in creation, so that man's without excuse. Now, being accountable to God doesn't mean we have ability left to ourselves, but we still, it's not that God's done anything to make us not come to him. He just left us to ourselves. But the life we have and the light we have, even as depraved sinners, he gave it. He sustains it. It's from him. Now, for a believer, we should understand this, that since all life and all light is from Christ, even in a natural man, for that unregenerate, apostate sinner who hates God, even the life and the light that Christ is sustaining in him, it's subservient to and for the purpose of the good of his people. That's what God, that's what he's given that life for. Right now, every spiritually dead, God-hating sinner in this world, he can't take a breath to cuss Christ or to cuss us unless Christ gives him life to do it. And he can't devise anything with his understanding against us or for us unless Christ gives him the understanding. And everything he's doing is subservient to and for the purpose of his people, for the good of his people. Scripture says, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. We think we're so powerful and we're doing all the things we want to do. We can't do anything but what God gives us life and understanding to do. It doesn't matter who you are. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And we can't. Tell me what's going to happen this afternoon. I have no idea. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. God knows. He's directing everything. He's upholding life in every person in this world and light, understanding in every person that has it. Some more, some less, but he's the one that gives it. But all the fullness of spiritual life and all the fullness of spiritual light is given by Christ. It all comes from Christ. It's spiritual life freely given. Freely given. The Lord Jesus gives life to as many as the Father has given him. That's what he prayed in John 17. He gives life to as many as the Father gave to him. He's the giver. He gives this life of reconciliation. He came to reconcile his people to God. And he accomplished that by his blood, by laying down his life. And everybody he reconciled to God, he's going to come and make us experience that reconciliation in our hearts so that we're reconciled to God. And he shall not fail. God said he shall not fail till he set judgment in the earth. He will do this in the hearts of his people. And it's life eternal. There's no end to the life he gives. When he gives spiritual life, it's eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is the simplest way I know to put the gospel. In him is life, and he that has the Son has life. That's the gospel. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. And when he gives life, he gives spiritual light. The light is the light of those born of him. Now, here's my point in all of that. Knowing Christ is the life and that he's the light of all men, even natural men, knowing that, we see the greatness of our depravity. We see the total ruin of our nature in the fact that Christ sends his witness into this world declaring him, bearing witness of him, and we reject him unless we're born of God. Now that shows you something. He gave us the life we have, the natural life and the natural understanding we have, and he created this world and created us and sustains us, and he sends his witness declaring him to us, and unless we're born of him, born again, we'll reject him. That's depravity. The one who's holding us in life and holding us in understanding, unless he gives us spiritual life, we'll reject him. It says there in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, Christ sent John the Baptist as his forerunner. He sent him as the forerunner to bear witness of Christ. He says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, think of that. God himself sent a witness to tell us about him. God himself sent a man to bear witness of God. to tell us about him, to tell us who he is and what he accomplished for his people. A man sent from God. That's what every true preacher is. He's a man sent from God. A man sent from God. Christ promised in Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors after my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The greatest gift God ever gave to me was a man sent from God. And here's why. God sent his man to declare that Christ alone is the light. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now that's what a true witness is. That's what a man sent from God does. He is sent of God to bear witness of Christ the light. If God does what he did with Jeremiah and doesn't save a single person, he's had a successful ministry if he came and bore witness of Christ. Because that's all he's meant to do, is to bear witness of the light of Christ. The man God sends will tell you, just like John the Baptist said, I'm not the light. I'm not the light. I'm sent to bear witness of the light. And he sends his witness so that sinners through him, see there he says through him, there was a man sent, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe, through the gospel he preached, that they might believe. The only thing sinners have to do is believe on Christ. Believe God's word, cast your care on Christ to be saved of him. That's all God calls sinners to do. That's it. And here's where our depravity is magnified, right here. Verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man has his natural understanding from the Christ the light who came into this world. He was in the world. God came in human flesh in this world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Do you see depravity magnified there? Here he is. He's the true light. He's the one from whom every man has just his natural understanding. He's the creator. He's the one who created everything. And he came into this world. Sent a forerunner before him saying, here he is, this is him. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Here he is. But our reception of Christ was, we received him not. And even worse, he came unto his own and his own received him not. It just magnifies our depravity here. He came to Israel, the one nation that he separated and formed and gave this great light to. They had heard their fathers. They had heard how this one called out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and promised them he was coming. The seed was coming, and he was going to come and redeem all his elect, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed in Abraham's seed, in Christ. They heard that for thousands of years. They heard how he came right at the time he said he would come, and he redeemed Israel out of the bondage of Israel, showing them a picture of what he was going to do spiritually when he came and laid down his life on the cross. Took them out of the bondage of Egypt and carried them through the wilderness, and delivered them to the land he promised he'd deliver to them. Moses stood up and he said, there's not one promise failed of everything he promised you. He did everything. They heard all that. And prophet after prophet after prophet, he sent to him saying, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm going to send my forerunner before me, and he's going to declare, all flesh is grass, behold your God, I'm going to send this forerunner. I mean, he spelled it out in the scriptures. This is how I'm coming. This is what I'm going to do when I come. I'm going to give a witness to let you know I'm here. And he did all that. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. I'm telling you, we are depraved by nature. We are in total, thorough darkness by nature. But no sinner can blame God for it, can we? We can't blame God for it. Look at what he did. Look at everything he did. Created our world we live in, sustains everything in it, gave us light, just a natural understanding, gave us life, sent witness after witness to us, and yet, left to ourselves, we receive him not. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We just won't give up what we think is our glory, what we think is some wisdom we have, and some ability we have, and this polluted thinking we have that we're going to be able to make God accept us. That's the darkness we love. That's the darkness we keep holding on to. And will not go to Christ the light because of that darkness. So how are spiritually dead sinners given power to receive Christ? How are we going to receive him? Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, some believed on him. Some believed him. How'd they do it? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, verse 12, that word power, it does have the meaning privilege, authority. And indeed, the greatest privilege you'll ever be given is to be given the privilege to be the son of God. And only God can give that privilege. He's the only one that can give the privilege to us of being called sons of God. But the translators translated this word power, and that's a good translation because God alone gives ability. He gives life, he gives light, and he gives the ability to receive him, the will to receive him, and he alone gives it. Spiritual life is by Christ the life entering into a sinner. When the life enters, when Christ enters, that's when we have life, spiritual life. And he said there, and the life is the light of men. When Christ the life enters and you have spiritual life, you're going to have spiritual understanding. You'll know him. And it's by Christ's power. When he's done this, we can do nothing else but believe on him. We can't do anything else. It's not as the world says that he gives you this power, you're born again, then you can have the choice to choose him or reject him. Your choices are when you're dead in sin. When the Lord spoke through Joshua and he said, choose this day whom you'll serve. He said, choose the idols that were on the other side of the Jordan that your fathers worshipped, or choose the idols that are on this side of the Jordan. That was the choices. You got choices when you're dead in your sins, all these different choices. But when he's made you to be born of him, he said, the Lord said this through Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There is no more choice. Think about it. Think about this. The word is translated, same word when it said that Christ said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority, all power, everything's his. And then the same words used again when it says he gave to his 12 disciples power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Same word. We're talking about power. We're talking about Christ coming in power. Now, when you were born the first time, conceived in the womb, and when you came forth from your mother's womb, he gave you that life. Christ did. When he gave you that life, what'd you do? You breathed. You didn't have a choice. It's not like he gave you life and you said, okay, let me decide if I'm going to live or not. When he gives you life, you're going to breathe because you're alive. It's not a choice. The power to become the sons of God is the power to live when Christ becomes your life. You live. When he makes himself to be your light, you see, you behold, you believe, you understand, you have spiritual discernment. You can't stop believing him. When light shines, that word up there where it says when the light shined in the darkness comprehended it not, it doesn't just mean what we think is comprehension. It means the darkness couldn't put it out. The darkness couldn't overtake it. The darkness could not prevail against the light. When you turn a light on in a room, it doesn't just gradually get light. You turn the light on, the darkness is gone. And when Christ turns the light on in a spiritually dead, dark sinner's heart, he has light, and he can't stop it. You can't stop that light. You're going to have it. And when with that comes a new will. There's a new will that you don't have a will not to believe him. You don't have a will to reject him. He gives you a will that by his power dominates the will of the flesh. And you're going to believe on him. And you can't stop believing on him. He said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. When he's made you holy, you're holy. When he's made giving you life, you have life. Whatever he creates is holy, and it's got light. And you're made willing in the day of that power. From the womb of the morning, from the new birth, you made willing. And you do whatever newborn Son of God does, you receive Christ. That's what the verse means. It says the power came first from God. Read it again. As many as received Christ, the reason they received him is because to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He gave them the power. He gave them the authority to become sons of God. He did. That's the order he describes it in Galatians. Because you're sons, he sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. And the result was you received him. You cried, Abba, Father. But how are sons of God born? How are we born of God? That should be a rhetorical question. I mean, how did you become the biological son of your natural father? Only your biological father made you be born as his biological child. Nobody else could do that but him. Men take this, how to be born of God. Isn't that a rhetorical question? How to be born of God? I mean, only God can make you be born of God. The only way we can be a spiritual son of God is to be born spiritually of God our Father. That's the only way. Which were born, he says, verse 13, not of blood. Sinners don't become sons of God because their parents are sons of God. It's not of blood. It doesn't run in bloodline. God doesn't make our children be born of him simply because you and I are believers. Abraham was a son born of God. He'd been born of God. But Abraham, he had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But God didn't make Ishmael to be born a son of God simply because Abraham was born a son of God. Jacob had two sons, conceived at the same time in the same womb. But But just because Jacob was born of God, a son of God, didn't mean God was going to make Esau be born a son of God. It's not of blood. Sinners are not born of God simply because they have a parent that's a son of God. It's not of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Sinners do not become sons of God because it's the will of those around you. Every believing parent has a will that desires for their child to be born of God and know God. But that believing parent cannot put the incorruptible living seed in you, the Word of God. We can't put that living Word in our children and make them be born of God. We can, the church, each of us here who believe God, who've been born of God, we want all that are lost to be born of God. That's our will. And we can pray for that, but in the end, we're going to have to say, but not our will, O God, but thine be done. It's not of the will of the flesh, and it's not of the will of man. A sinner can't make himself be born of God by his own will. This is where it gets offensive. I heard a man not long ago read supporting faith in Christ. He read verse 12 and he did not read verse 13. He was telling people how to be born of God. You read verse 12. Why didn't you read verse 13? Well, if you say that, that's going to offend folks. And they're not going to believe on him if you tell them they can't do it of their own will. Yeah, but that's the living Word. That's the incorruptible seed. That's the Word by which God's going to make his children be born of God. Go to these dry bones and tell them, live! You can't do it yourself, though. The Lord's going to come and enter in, and through that Word, he's going to give life. You got to tell sinners that. Why? We need to be offended. I got tickled yesterday. I got a bulletin from a I got it from Brother Milton Howard, but there was an article in there that Brother Jack Shanks wrote. And y'all have heard me talk about Jack Shanks. He pastored down at New Caney, Texas. And I got the privilege to spend some time with Jack, and he was something else. But he said somebody stopped by the churchyard one day. He was outside, and they come by, and he lived there by the church. The parsonage was there, and they come by, and you know how people do, and they ask about the service and when it started and all that. And we got through, the lady said, well, we might just come. And Jack said, all I could say to her was, well, yeah, and I could just hear Jack saying this, yeah, you might come, you might not come. If God's willing for you to come, you will, but if God's not willing for you to come, you won't. Now, reckon how she responded to that. She looked at him like, I never heard anything like that. And he went on to say, he said, I don't want to be mean to folks. He said, but I'm kind of sick of us when these infrequent visitors show up acting like they've done some great privilege to the church. These saints who've spent the money and footed the bill to have the place and to have the gospel preached, they ought to be thanking them rather than everybody showering them with thanksgiving for gracing us with your presence. We got to be brought down and made to realize we're not giving God anything. We're not privileging God. He's privileging us. He's giving us everything. We're not giving him anything. If we're going to be born, we got to be born of God. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that works. It's of God that shows mercy. Before a sinner's ever going to be brought to the true and living God, he's going to have to be told about the true and living God. He's going to have to be told how God saves sinners and that the sinner don't save himself. What if you packaged it just right and took all the offense out and got a sinner to believe on this God you've preached? That's not the true God? What have you accomplished? He's just a dead sinner who put on an outfit that looks like a believer, and he hadn't believed the true God. He's worshiping a golden calf. If God says I'm going to do this through the light, I'm going to do it through the word, I'm going to do it through the gospel that declares that I'm the one that gives life, that I'm the one that quickens, that I'm the one that saves and redeems and justifies, that I do it A to Z, then that's what we need to tell sinners. Because that's the message he's going to bless. And that's what his witness is going to do. God elected who he had saved by his grace. And Christ came and laid down his life for the elect, and he bought them. He purchased them. He justified us from our sins, from which we couldn't be justified by the law of Moses or anything we did. And he's going to come through this word with this offensive gospel, and he's going to bring his child down to the dust. He's going to give him life and make him see he's nothing but a sinner, unable to do one thing to save himself, and God is going to save him through Christ his Son, and he's going to give God all the glory for it. That's how God's going to save. Go over to Galatians 4. I'll end with this. Paul is showing here how the law and all our these earthly elements had us in bondage. And he uses an heir who's a child, but he's a child. He's an heir, but he's a child. And look what he says, verse 1. I say the heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's going to have all the inheritance given to him one day. But while he's a child, he's just a servant. He's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. This is just an illustration. Until the Father's ready for him to become the son, the heir, he's just being taught by tutors and he's in bondage. Well, even so, we... And Paul here is mainly talking to Jews because Gentiles never were under the law. But we thought we were. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, the law, and our flesh. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be given the adoption of sons. And watch what happens. And because you are sons, this is prior to you being born of God. God knows whose his sons are. He chose them and he sent his Son to redeem them. And because you are sons, though you're under tutors and under the law and you're dead in your sins, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and this is always the result. You cried out, Abba, Father. He gave you life, and you cried out, Father, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's how he does it. Nothing's been out of God's power. Nothing's been out of his purpose. He knew who he was going to save, sent his Son who saved him. Then he sends his gospel, his witness to him. And though everybody else doesn't receive the witness, he sends his Spirit and he makes his child receive the Spirit, receive the witness. And he does what a living, believing, born-again child of God does. He cries out in faith, Abba, Father. Father, Father. And that's how you're given the privilege to become a son of God. It's by God. I pray you'll bless that. Let's stand together. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We see so many blessings that you've given us, and even when we were in our flesh and didn't know you, Lord, you provided everything. The life and the light we had, and you're the life of these infants right here in the womb of their mothers. Lord, we pray that you would bless this word and cause us to really see what great privilege you've given us freely by your Son. Make us see how indebted we are to your grace. Lord, we're absolute, total, helpless sinners without you. Everything is of your hand. Lord, thank you for the blessings you give us. We're so unthankful. We just take these things for granted, and Lord, you've given us all these things. And more than everything else, you've given us Christ and given us all spiritual blessings in him. Lord, don't let us take it for granted. Don't let us ever lose sight of where our life and our light really is. Keep us looking to Christ. Keep us bearing witness of Christ to each other, to anybody that you open the door for us to bear witness unto. And Lord, make us truly, truly cry out in faith to you and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for making us to be born again children of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How can we thank you, Lord, but by telling others about you, trying to stay out of the way, try to keep the focus on Christ and keep your glorious gospel going forth. Lord, bless the word. We do pray for our children. We do pray for those that don't know you. And we ask you, Lord, if it's your will, that you be pleased to give them life and light. Forgive us our sins, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.